while on, though. I really hope he calls in on that. Are we on the record now? Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get through the formalities, and that will help a little bit. So, I'm Darcy Dixon Pignanelli, Tax Commissioner with Utah State Tax Commission. Today is Monday, November 7th, 2011, just a little bit after 2 p.m. And I have convened the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee in room 1040 at Utah State Tax Commission building. That's the site of the anchor location. And we're at 210 North, 1950 West in Salt Lake City, Utah. And by administrative rule R884-24P-72, committee members may participate in this meeting via telephonic communications as long as there is an anchor location and a member of the committee is at the anchor location, and I am serving in that position. And joining us on the phone today so far are Rex Larson, who is our representative of the farming and ranching community appointed by the fellow committee members, and also Dr. Don Snyder, who's representing Utah State University as an appointee of the president of Utah State University. And also in the room here with me is Denny Lytle, who is the director of the property tax division, and Krista Johnson, who is our executive assistant to the commission. She'll be taking the minutes. And then also on the phone with us is Sterling Brown, who's vice president for public policy with the Utah Farm Bureau. He serves as an ad hoc non-voting member position. So at this point, I'm calling that we have a quorum. There's five members and we have three of us here. And we still might expect that Greg Garf, the assessor from Duchesne County, might call. Oh, there we go. We've got one more member who's joined us. Who just joined us?
This is Kathleen Matthews. I'm Kyle Stevens' assistant. He wanted to know if you guys have a quorum.
We do have a quorum, but we would sure love to have him on the phone.
He's on another conference call right now.
Okay.
So would you like him just to call back when he's off that conference call?
Yes, just have him call back. That would be great. And we might have a discussion item. We can't take action, and there is no plan to do it, but we might have a discussion item that we might like to have him hear.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, so, you can go ahead and hang up and just have him call back if he gets off.
Okay, great, I'll do that.
Thank you for checking, but we do have a quorum. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, I didn't get that name, hopefully. You got that. Okay, so our first item of business is to approve the minutes of our October 5th meeting, and that was the meeting that we received the farmland report from Dr. Snyder on which we based our valuations for the tables that were prepared by the Property Tax Division to go in the administrative rule that was considered by the full tax commission, and we did, as a tax commission, vote to send those up to the division administrative rules, and those values in the administrative rule are now out for public comment and will be till the end of November. So we have draft minutes that were sent out. Did Dr. Snyder and Mr. Larson, did you get those draft minutes?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did, Larson.
Did either one of you have any comments, questions, concerns, corrections, anything that we need to take into consideration on that?
The only correction I have, and it's just a grammar thing.
Hold on, Dr. Snyder. Yeah. We just had one other person join us.
Yep.
This is Greg Duchesne.
Oh, Greg, Assessor Garf, thank you so much for calling in. That's perfect. So we now have on the phone with us Greg Garf, who's the assessor of Duchesne County and the appointee of the State County Assessor Association. So we have four of five. And just so you know, Greg, the only person not on the phone with us is Kyle Stevens from Department of Agriculture. He may call in just a little bit and join us. But we also have Denny Lytle here with us, and Sterling Brown's on the phone, and otherwise everyone else that you met at the meeting, Dr. Snyder and Rex Larson. And we're just going through the minutes to see if there's any corrections, and we were at Dr. Snyder who had a correction.
Okay.
It's not a significant thing, but anyway, just grammar-wise. In the paragraph where it says, Dr. Snyder explained that to derive the values in the report, he looks at prices, costs, yields, productivity, and crop mix, and then the next sentence it says the price and cost data and should be R rather than his.
Oh, great.
But that's all I can find.
Oh, I appreciate people who help correct items like that. You know, when you need as many eyes as you can get.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Larson, did you have any corrections or changes?
I didn't.
Okay. And Assessor Garf, did you have any corrections or changes? Okay, and Sterling, just because you're on the phone too, did you see anything in them?
No,
seem accurate, because I did quote you in there too, I think. Okay, and Danny, did you have anything at all? Because I know you were quoted quite a bit in there.
No.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, with that. Dr. Snyder, would you mind making a motion to approve these minutes then?
I move that the minutes be approved.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Larson, would you mind giving this a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, great. Just because I can't see anyone, I can't look at their eyes to get that, you know? All right, so I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of October 5th, 2011. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. And I recognize that doesn't look like there's anyone opposed or anyone abstaining. Great. I appreciate that. That helps us have those in place. At this time, we will plan on doing we'll have a public meeting of the commission on Thursday, December 8th, and that will be when the commission will take any final public comment in an open meeting. If no one's commented on the rule as it's been published, and then we'll vote to accept those, and then the rest will be up to the Krista will make them live in the rules, and Denny will work with everyone else with the assessors. But my understanding is, Mr. Larson, you might have an item that you would like us to just get an update on. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's mostly an information.
That would be great. We'd love to have that informational item. And maybe by then, Commissioner Kyle Stevens will be able to join us. So go right ahead.
What it's regarding, and I've asked Sterling to kind of help me a little bit, part of the process of Farm Bureau is a grassroots policy development. And where the policies are developed on the county level, then goes to state and discussed and adopted, and then to national. One of the policies that each of the counties have been considering this year was brought about because of proposed legislation last year, which didn't move forward, but it regarded urban farming and determining if the acreage requirement could be lessened so that could be included as a come under the direction of the Greenbelt or farmland assessment. Each of the counties have had opportunity to look at that and consider policy, one being to leave it alone and not act on that. It would only affect, as I'm understanding right now, Class 1 counties, which would be Salt Lake. But there was interest in our Utah County meeting, our annual business meeting. The group voted not to reduce the acreage, but they did throw out the idea of looking at a possible different classification for a smaller acreage and in an urban farming situation, realizing that that's probably something that other counties might be having some pressure on, or at least some interest on, because of people who are having setting up intensive operations, whatever it might be, and would like to receive you know, classification or at least be recognized as a viable agriculture operation and receive some benefits. One of the couples that was in Utah County meeting suggested they have several small parcels, but the rent that they have to pay in order for their landowners to pay their higher taxes is substantial, and it's a real burden for them. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that out as an information item, and maybe Sterling, you could give a little more information on that.
Yeah, I don't have a lot more to add other than Senator Wayne Niederhauser, of course, covers a lot of Sandy and I believe some parts of Murray here in Salt Lake County, was the sponsor of the legislation last year, and of course his bill would reduce the Greenbelt acreage requirement, as Rex indicated, thus resulting in a tax shift within the community. And as all of you on the phone know, to qualify for current Greenbelt qualifications, there's quite a list of requirements, not only an acreage requirement, but also a production requirement. And this proposal that's before us not only reduces the acreage requirement to between 2 and 4.99 acres, but also there would need to be a production requirement, but eliminating dry land or the production of bees. And it seems like there was one or two other items there. In other words, if I had 4 acres here in Sandy and I put a beehive in my backyard, that doesn't qualify me for a Greenbelt qualification. I'd need to be producing other agriculture commodities. So other than that, Rex and committee members, Commissioner, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I remember, Sterling, when this bill came up in the 2011 session, in January of this year, you and I had a little bit of just keeping each other informed about where the bill was, just because the Tax Commission doesn't normally get involved in policy issues, but we get involved only from the perspective of like the Property Tax Division working with assessors and county reps and the administration of it. Assessor Garf, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. I was wondering if you ever had any, if the assessors ever had any discussions on this. I know it seemed that from an administrative standpoint, I've gone blank again, Danny. The assessor of Salt Lake County, I can't believe it.
Lee Gardner,
the assessor of Salt Lake County, was quite concerned about the administration aspects of it, and Danny, maybe you'd be better to speak to that, but Assessor, could I just put you on hold 1 minute, because I want to get your input on this, but Danny, I don't know, maybe you have a better sense of what Lee Gardner's thoughts were on it.
My understanding is that Lee, most of his concerns were administrative, although he did have some general policy concerns. The administrative problems, the first draft we saw last year, my response was that you give me this law and I can qualify any piece of property in the state that doesn't have a building on it. And I still think that would have been possible the way it was written. And it was tightened up to some degree, but I was personally still left with some serious administrative concerns that it would be very hard to determine if people qualified. It would have been very open. Most pieces of property that people applied for in that category would have qualified given how loose the language was. So my concern with it is, if it does go forward, making sure that it's written in such a way that it can be administered.
Assessor Garf, did you have any thoughts on that at all? I mean, right now it's just counties of the first class, but Did you
get... Well, I think, like Denny was saying, you know, the concern was it was just going to create a nightmare there in trying to administer it and keep it going. And most were glad that it was just going to be reserved for Salt Lake County, so...
Just make it Lee Gardner's concern. Let him work out the bugs and then see if anyone else could do it.
Commissioner?
Yes.
Sterling here. Can I ask a question of Denny?
Yes.
As Rex indicated, this has gone through an extensive Farm Bureau grassroots policy process, and we're just a week or two away from that process culminating at our convention. A lot of the feedback has been up to this point of generally in favor of the concept, but is there a way, as Rex alluded to, of creating a new forum or new model or mechanism to tax these parcels of land and not open up or tamper with the existing greenbelt?
And I'm gonna let Danny answer that. Commissioner Stevens, did you just join us?
I did. Thank you. Sorry
okay.
for not being available at the beginning. I got tied up in a conference call with our Attorney General's office.
Not a problem. We hope this is convenient for you. Let me just bring you up to speed really quickly. We did approve the minutes. Did you have any corrections to them that we need to go back and look at that again?
I did not.
Okay. We're just having a discussion item under the Open and Public Meetings Act. We can discuss it, but we can't take any action as a committee. We'd have to agenda to take action on this. But Rex, as a member of the Farm Bureau, and Sterling Brown are just bringing us up to speed about dialogue inside the Farm Bureau that's going to kind of culminate, as Sterling was saying, at their Farm Bureau convention next week. On this urban farming issue, and I don't know if you remember that from last year, but Senator Niederhauser sponsored a bill for counties of the first class.
Right.
Okay, and the Farm Bureau's been talking about that. So we're just kind of in a dialogue on that. You came in right in the middle of that. So if I understand it, Sterling, could you just pose your question one more time just so that Commissioner
sure.
Stevens hears it?
Sure. Welcome, Kyle.
Thank you.
And Kyle's been a part of many of these discussions, so I know he's not coming in completely void of the issue. My question to Denny was, a lot of the, as this discussion has made the rounds in the Farm Bureau circles around the state, generally speaking, they've been supportive of the concept, but the question has come up more than once, can a mechanism be put in place for these smaller parcels of land within Salt Lake County without opening up or tampering with the current greenbelt laws?
My,
I believe that was my
yeah.
question I asked earlier.
You want my untrained legal opinion on this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go right ahead. We all love to do that. Go right ahead.
I think it is possible. I think it'd be better, in my opinion, to create an Urban Farm Assessment Act as opposed to calling it the Farmland Assessment Act, so that you would be subject to different sorts of standards and qualifications than under the normal FAA. And in that case, the policy could make it whatever the policymakers believed would be appropriate. It could be based on simply income or new standards related to the types of truck crops that are grown on these small urban farms could be developed. It's not a short or easy process, but it is possible. But in my opinion, it would be better as a standalone act instead of trying to fold it under the Farmland Assessment Act.
Yeah. Could I ask a follow-up to that? With this initial interest coming from Salt Lake County, what prevents the county from changing their own tax slash ordinances versus having to go to the state?
Constitution and statute. They are not allowed to, the state is given the responsibility to outline the classifications and the valuation of that property subject to the FAA.
Okay.
And the qualifications are in statute, and so they could not decide to go less than 5 acres unless the statute allowed them. That doesn't currently exist.
Okay, so because the Constitution requires that property valuations be done on a state level, we need to stay with the state.
Well, in terms, the Constitution is not real clear in terms of the FAA. It simply allows that land be taxed at its productive value instead of its market value. But the statute is what outlines the requirements. So the statute could be changed to get there.
I see.
Could I interject something at this point?
Yes, so that's Dr. Snyder. Go right ahead.
When this came up earlier, I think I spoke with Denny about it a little bit. The biggest concern I have is I have no idea how you would ever value that land. And I just don't know how you'd go about doing it.
I don't either, Dr. Snyder. Given the diversity of products produced on those small farms and small pieces of ground, which there are quite a few now, people that do the farmers markets and things and do quite well on small pieces, but the diversity of crops would make valuation extremely difficult.
Yeah.
No bad ideas here, just brainstorm with everyone. So, would it, I know we're used to Greenbelt where we talk about the productivity, but with residential, they just do a 55% deductions. We all know. Is it something where you would say, because we don't know that there's a way to value it, that they just say, fine, there'll be a 15% deduction? Or is that a slippery slope and you don't want to go there?
Administratively, that would be easier but would require a standalone act. So you'd have to have its own section of code dealing with those types of farms.
Now, this is Kyle. Sterling, in your recollection of dealing with Senator Niederhauser last year and the piece of legislation that he was proposing, do you recall if there was any discussion relative to the valuation issue? I don't remember that coming up. And then secondly, in the courses of the discussions, it has been pretty much the recommendation that if there were to be any support from the agricultural community, that it would have to be a separate standalone piece of legislation and not opening up the current Greenbelt Act. So maybe you could respond to those two.
Yeah. First, to your second question, the ag community supporting a standalone, Senator Niederhauser and Jim Bradley from Salt Lake County Council and others, as we've shared that concern with them and others, they've responded very favorably to that. They just, to my knowledge, haven't found how to do that. And so then to your second question, the process of evaluation, that has been discussed at length. And in the current proposed legislation, they've tried to address that, and admittedly it's still pretty broad of if the landowner is, quote, attempting to make a profit, then it can be assessed. Now, I know that doesn't get to the specifics of if he's growing 2 acres of tomatoes versus cantaloupes, you know, how do you do that? But that's where they are, to my knowledge, on the language.
Okay.
Dr. Snyder, just kind of back to this then about you have no idea how you would value the land. I mean, I think that's pretty critical. because it to move forward with an act that kind of makes it administratively difficult. It might be the right idea. What's your thought? I mean, one idea is that I don't even know how to do these numbers, but if they were to just say, if you qualify some way and there's this separate act and they just do it by 15% or 20%, whatever they might do, do you have any idea whether suddenly these smaller farms less than 5 acres under this act would suddenly be valued, would pay less property taxes than maybe a farm that's 5 acres? I mean, I guess that's the only thing.
Not at 15%, I don't believe.
No.
And that was just a percentage I threw out. Oh. But would that be a concern, Sterling? I mean, that there we'd create this separate act, and then suddenly it would be, you'd be better off being with less than 5 acres or something.
No question. That concern or question, among other concerns and questions, are still out there.
Okay.
We don't want to enter into something here that is going to backfire not only on the current farm and ranch community, but for those landowners who may want to participate in this, and not to mention the citizens at large who may have to bear a higher tax burden to allow for this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Denny.
I just thought of something else. The Constitution only allows that land to be valued based on its productive capability, and so to give a percentage exemption while administratively very nice creates a constitutional problem.
That was a good catch, thanks, Denny.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's of course in 1969 when the legislature passed the Green Belt, it of course triggered for a constitutional amendment, and the citizens voted on it. So, then if I'm hearing you right, we would need to go down that same road.
Yes.
Even for a Class 1 specific type legislation.
Yes, if you come up with any other valuation scheme except based on its productive capability. So if you determine that it's a percentage off market value, that would require a constitutional change, in my untrained legal opinion.
Right. We recognize that. Thank you. Okay.
Rex, that's a good point for our group to discuss.
It is. I appreciate that insight.
But is there, just because we've got Dr. Snyder on the phone, Dr. Snyder and Denny, just give me a sense of this. If some type of version of this were to pass, then does this become another element of the Farm Bureau? If it's a separate act, would you foresee that we would eventually be dealing with it, or?
It depends on how it's written. Currently, if everybody is focused on letting the Tax Commission maintain the responsibility for valuation, I guess it could be written in a way that the valuation were the county's responsibility, and then we would probably have, they would have a way to do the, I don't know.
You'd have 29 different views.
Well, if it was expanded to all the counties, you definitely would have different ways of administering it.
Just help me understand really quickly, maybe Rex, you have this answer, or maybe someone else does. Why at this point is it only counties of the first class? Is it only because Salt Lake County Council is the only one that came forward and said we want to do this? Do you know why your county commission in Utah County hasn't looked at it, Rex, or do you know if they have? Or
I don't know either way. No, I don't know.
Sterling.
This is Kyle.
Yes.
There was some discussion regarding that issue last week in the Ag Sustainability Task Force, and Sterling, I don't recall if you were there during that part of the discussion or not. But Commissioner Larry Ellertson from Utah County, and I hope I'm not mischaracterizing this, but the gist of the conversation evolved around why limiting it to the counties of the first class, and indicated that there may be interest for counties of second and third class. And I don't understand the county designation myself, but I think, Sterling, and you can correct me if I'm wrong too, but I think early on, Senator Niederhauser, in proposing the legislation last year, felt like it was probably an easier sell if it was just limited to counties of the first class.
Okay.
Which would just be, is that Salt Lake County? Is that the only one that meets that classification?
Yeah, right now it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, the back, I mean, there has been questions raised about why limiting it and then so forth.
Okay. All right. Well, Rex, is there any other feedback you'd like to have at this point?
No, I think it was very helpful, and I just wanted to, didn't know of another forum that I could kind of get the committee's input and give them the information, so I appreciate the opportunity.
I think it was very helpful for all of us to be apprised of the fact that the Farm Bureau will be looking at their convention next week, and I don't know if it might come up at the county assessors meetings at the Utah Association of County meetings next week. I know Denny will be going down to those meetings. He might run into some questions down there, and I don't know if Assessor Garf, you're going to be able to break away and make it down there, but you'll at least have some.
I'm planning to be there, so.
Great. Okay, so between you and Denny, maybe you'll be able to answer some questions and get some feedback from there. And I think we'll be interested to follow this. Let me just make sure that you as committee members know, if there's a request, we can call a meeting of this kind any time just for the purposes of dialoguing on it. If we intend to take any action, which I don't know if that would be in the role of this committee to take any action, but just to do any feedback, I'd be happy to put this type of call together down the road in November or December, or even January, if we all needed to talk, then please know that you're welcome to contact me and we can put something together on that. Are there any other issues that anyone wants to talk about? We can't take action, but we can certainly talk about them. Nothing else? Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate everyone making time to do this. It's been about a 30-minute meeting, a little bit longer than we thought, but great dialogue. And I hope everyone has a great beginning of the holiday season and stays well. Luckily, my germs can't come through the phone to you. So anyway, take care, all of you. And again, if there's anything else you'd like to discuss, let me know. All right?
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you so much. Okay, take care.
See y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.